Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
For this week's Caravan of Garbage, we've actually skewed directions because of our Patreon supporters. We were going to do Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen for The Invisible Man. The Dark Universe is back, Mason.
Oh my God, is it back?
You know it's back.
For how long is it back, though? One more movie?
At least one.
Then it's cancelled again.
Yeah, definitely.
Then it's back on in a
then
couple
it's
of
back.
Years.
You know it is.
Oh my God, I cannot wait.
Yeah. So we were going to do that, but after we did The Mummy, there was huge requests for us to cap off The Mummy trilogy. So we're back. We're talking The Mummy Returns. This was greenlit the morning that The Mummy opened because it was such a big hit. People loved it and they were like, get this one off the ground. And the directors and all the cast involved were like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it bigger and better. And they didn't.
that's the problem with a sequel is you have to go, we want to recapture the magic,
yeah,
but it's also got to be bigger. It's what you liked, but more and bigger.
Yeah.
It's like difficult second album syndrome. It's
exactly.
Like more and better.
And in a shorter amount of time, because it was 2 years after.
Yeah, right.
The thing about this video is it's going to be bigger and better than the first one we did. So we will accept a like from you for making it that way. Correct?
Yes. It's you, the viewers and or listeners, that make this bigger and better.
Correct.
But also the editor.
Yes, obviously.
Making it bigger.
Thanks,
if we
thanks,
don't,
Ben.
If we in the production of this don't make it bigger, if you could just add some white noise at the end, maybe.
Yeah,
just a minute or two of white noise.
Just pat it right out.
Just
yeah.
Really crank those levels, you know what I mean?
So this is The Mummy light.
Yeah, right.
It's got pillars falling instead of bookcases. Instead of a sand face, it's a water face.
Water face.
You can't
and a dust face
and
later.
And a dust face later. You're reading a book, but you can't work out what one of the things is in the book, and you're asking somebody what the thing in the book is.
Uh-huh.
The cast is also back. They make that classic error of introducing a kid. Phantom Menace did it.
But again, like,
Zorro sequel did it.
But what are you going to do? Because this is set nearly 10 years after.
About 9 or 10 years after.
After the original. And so Rick and Evie, they're married now, and grave robbing's done really well for them because they live in this enormous mansion.
They're so rich.
And they have a kid. He's a like a sort of snotty-ish little kid.
He's both of them.
He's both of them, exactly. And he's a little bit anachronistic. He's always like, oh, get a room, you two. Mm. You know, like they said in the 1930s.
Oh, my God, you know they did.
Rick O'Connell's kind of the same, and Evie's had a real glow-up. Let me tell you.
And she wants more adventures.
Her eyebrows have grown back. Bless her.
If you've been pointed out that the reason also her eyebrows are like that in the previous movie is because that was the style of the 20s.
I don't believe
it's
that.
It's a coincidence, I feel
it's
like.
There's
no way they're all like, listen, if there's one thing we get right in this movie,
that's
it's
right.
That big rat wheel, which was apparently a real thing. Mm-hmm. We talked about it at eyebrows.
Yeah. All right. Look, if you can check in any number of videos, there are a lot of factual errors in the first The Mummy relating to Hamunaptra and Imhotep and all
even
kinds of
sand physics.
Absolutely.
It's out the window,
mate. Can't make a bloody big sand face.
No, you can't.
But anyway, yeah, so this movie is if I can put the plot back together, so it's quite similar. Evie and Rick, they find a golden bracelet,
yep,
and their son puts it on, and that was the bracelet of the Scorpion King.
Yeah.
And in putting that on, that summons the Scorpion King in 7 days,
mm,
and it's going to bring with him the army of Anubis,
yep,
which is going to destroy the world. But the followers of Imhotep want to bring back the mummy because if he comes back and he defeats the Scorpion King, then he can take control of the army of Anubis and destroy the world instead, and they want that for some reason?
Yeah, I feel like, though, you could just work for either of those guys.
Right?
Does
I mean,
it
their
matter?
Goal is quite similar, isn't yeah, it? Yeah. They're both big spooky boys who want to destroy the world.
That's exactly it. Mm. So, interestingly, the son in this, Freddie Both, his name was, and is. He's alive, yeah. He was such a huge fan of The Mummy that he was like, on set, he'd remind people working on it what happened in the first film and what we need to do in this and how it ties
precocious.
In.
Yeah.
And he actually chose to audition for this over Harry Potter.
There you go.
So he turned down that completely.
What role in Harry Potter, though?
Hermione and Hagrid. He's very multi-talented, Mason.
Incredible.
Yeah, he does it all.
Well, they just put him in a big dirty trench coat, put a fake beard on him.
It's fine, isn't
Hagrid,
it? Yeah.
Right?
You know what I don't like about this movie? And there are some things that I do, because I don't think it's terrible.
No, see, when this movie came out, I remember because I was so jazzed on the first Mummy. I'm like, oh my God, you haven't seen The Mummy? Let's go see The Mummy Returns. And afterwards, I'm like, I'm sorry. But in rewatching it, it's not as bad as I remember it being. But I think what happens is when you leave a big action blockbuster, what sticks in your mind is the finale.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll talk about after this.
After the show's finished?
Yeah, after the show's finished. We'll talk about it personally in our own lives. But I think maybe that soured my whole experience.
Oh,
but
okay,
but
yeah.
you were saying.
Well, I was going to say, I don't like how they give everyone a destiny.
That's the first thing
Evie
I was going to say.
Evie is the Pharaoh's daughter or a reincarnation of that.
The Pharaoh that Imhotep killed in the first movie. So she's out for revenge somehow.
He doesn't recognize her for some reason in the first one. I guess he's got different eyes. Also, the eyes that he stole from the first movie, that guy needed glasses. So maybe that's why he didn't recognize her.
In this one, he does, he comes back and he's like, bloody hell, it's you. How have you been?
It's been eons. It's been 3,000 to 5,000 years. I don't know the timeline on this, do you?
Sorry, I'm just, when you see someone out of context, you don't recognize them, sorry. And you've grown your eyebrows back now, so obviously I remember you now.
But
destiny. So she's Rick O'Connell, some sort of guardian magi. And
they must have tattooed him when he was a baby?
Does he have that tattoo in the first movie?
He says that he's got leather wrist bands.
Ah, okay, perfect. The perfect crime. Okay.
The perfect crime.
They must have looked, when they were writing the sequel, they must have been like, what part of his body is covered in leather wristbands? Oh, his wrists, that's handy.
They could have just done it under his flappy hair on the sides.
Exactly.
I feel like that's where they could have put it. Yeah.
Yep.
The other thing is, they make him Indiana Jones, but a little bit better. Because they give him the fedora at one point.
Yeah, right.
And there's also a couple of moments where he's fine with snakes. He gets one thrown at him, and he's just like, snakes. And he just is not fussed by it at all.
Only a real coward would be afraid of snakes for any reason. Even childhood trauma. Even if you were massively traumatized by falling into a train carriage full of snakes as a child, you are a coward.
You've got a coward's heart.
That's right.
I love the moment, though, I've just made this note. It's not really relevant. But after he gets the snake thrown at him, a guy throws a knife. And he catches it, like, way off to the side. Like, not even close. He's, like, arm's length away.
Yeah, right.
Catch
so
from
what
that
you're saying
knife.
Is that knife guy's a real... He's a bad shot and he's got a coward's heart.
That's what I'm saying, yes. Right?
Which I thought was going to come back late. Oh, it does come back later. He catches the spear at the end.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good catch, though. Like, I assume that he was.
Right?
I mean, if he wasn't, he'd be dead a long time ago.
Oh, for sure, 100%.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like this movie, it was inspired, as all movies of this era was, by The Matrix.
Yeah.
I think they're like, let's do some Matrix-style stuff,
but without the
technical prowess or expertise or equipment to do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're going to do like long-form martial arts battles without the actual long-form kind of... We'll do it with quick cuts and nobody will notice. We noticed.
Apparently Rachel Weisz trained for like 5 months to do those sequences. That's mostly her.
Yeah.
So that's impressive.
That is impressive.
Maybe they should have filmed it in a way where you kind of
you
got
the sense
that.
And it wasn't just stunt people. Yeah.
At one point she's in a mask. Maybe that isn't her, but I think the one at the end is a little bit better. You can kind of get a better sense of it.
Yeah, right.
MVP of this movie, though, I think it's actually an improvement, or they build on it well. Ardeth Bay. I think that guy is... He's good in the first movie and he's expanded on in this movie.
Yes.
He's not in the third because what does he know about China? Not nothing, mate.
That's right. There's a deleted scene from the start of the third one where he's like, I got nothing, mate.
Not a damn thing. This, though, interestingly enough, was The Rock's first motion picture. He'd never seen a movie. He didn't even know what one was at
that
point.
Incredible. And look how far he's come.
I know. He's Snapchatting.
He's a baller,
big time. So it opens with the Scorpion King. And it tells all these story and how he's cursed and whatever, and he wanders the desert. And then he bites a real gooey scorpion, and I really enjoyed that. I'm like, that's a gooey scorpion.
Yeah, that's right.
And good job, The Rock.
It foretells a sense of incredible visceral realism we're going to have with the Scorpion King for the rest of this movie, right? Oh. Just if he's going to do something, he's going to do it for real and we're going to feel it.
We're going to know, yeah. Mm. Oh, we'll definitely get back to that.
Yeah.
After the video, obviously.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we got to talk about that
yeah.
in our personal lives. Here's some good stuff, though.
Yeah.
I like the chase through London. I like how the mummy gets its legs cut off and it's like monkeying through the bus.
Yeah. You know what?
Good stuff.
That also felt very reminiscent. I don't know, maybe it's a deliberate homage. Maybe it's just my brain making connections. It felt very much like any number of T-1000 chase scenes in Terminator 2. He's got the lever action rifle. He's shooting up like,
yeah,
like
right,
they're shooting
okay.
up in the lift.
I can see that.
In the mental asylum in, yeah. in Terminator 2. Just watch him play him side by side. You know, it's a...
You want Ben to do that?
No, I wouldn't put that upon the man to make an incredible video comparison. just frame by frame it, you know? Mwah. Oh, just pick it. It could, I mean, it'd take him weeks, but he could do it. I'm not, you know, faulting his technical expertise.
Yeah.
And if he wanted to make the best video of his career.
Sure. If he wants a hero's heart.
I mean, you don't have to, though.
So the other thing I like is I think the chemistry is still good between Rick and Evie.
For sure.
You feel like they like each other and they've been married. It's only been 2 years since the previous movie, but again, it's about a decade in between, or it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You get the sense that their relationship has grown.
For sure, yeah. Right. They've been robbing a lot of tombs together.
Oh, they love it,
they've been
it, mate.
Stealing a lot of priceless artifacts. She's really turned around on that.
Definitely.
That whole thing.
I like the guy who's like, this is cursed, that is cursed. You know, he makes that joke against that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I like sure. that bit. It turns out it was cursed. Kill them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you stand on pygmy mummies? Because I'm not sure where I'm at. They kind of avoid the main characters a lot
yeah.
and just tear apart everybody else.
I think they just needed a new scarab beetle, like a flesh-eating beetle kind of situation.
Yeah. They just flamethrow them in this.
Yeah, it's right? Like, exactly. They're like, we need something that's even more dangerous. Pygmy mummies?
Yeah.
There's a moment in this where, and again, it's the bus chase sequence, I think, where they're being pursued by the mummies from the previous movie, and Rick O'Connell's like, oh, these guys again?
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, me too, Rick O'Connell.
As you take a toilet break.
Yeah. You know what didn't do it for me? I feel like a lot of the supporting cast, I felt a little bit bland. Like in the previous movie, we had like the American adventurers, and they're kind of like...
We had Benny.
We did have Benny, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We do have the dirigible pilot, who I like quite a lot.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was just kind of like generic henchmen.
Yep.
Generic cultists.
Yep.
Little generic.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They had Mr. Echo from Lost.
That's
He's
right.
in this. Yeah. Water's hard to CGI, isn't it?
Seems that way. Yeah.
I kind of accepted it in the first one that they just survived the plane crash with the big sand face. They crashed in some sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This, they... fucking tumble out of the sky and they smash that ship to bits, which he then repairs.
Apparently.
Yeah, apparently he does, yeah.
He's a very good dirigible pilot / repairer.
I guess he is. Mm. Anubis's army is...
Not bad. Yeah, pretty solid, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, that's right.
You cannot take that away from them. There's heaps of them.
There's heaps of them. Some bits I also don't like, though, with the CGI. The first bit where the jungle grows around the rock.
Mm.
Not great. Imhotep after he fuck... Fuck. That's for the audio one.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Imhotep after he sucks the life out of that first guy. Not... Very good.
Yeah, I think they were kind of resting on their laurels. They're like, we nailed this mummy thing from the first one. Just chuck it right back in.
Mm. I think it's time, though, because the reason the Scorpion King doesn't look great is because...
Excuse me?
Well, it was...
Excuse me?
When they CGI him, not at the start.
Yeah, right.
But he's a regular man I'm talking about.
That's right,
because he does look great at the start.
Oh, my God, he looks so good.
He just chews into that scorpion
For reals,
for
baby.
For real, he does
it. Are we talking about the Scorpion King? Yeah, look, again, like I feel like when I watched it way back in the day, that was my takeaway. The Scorpion King.
Yeah.
When it
was never good.
When you have a big action movie, you want that last action sequence to be memorable. And I guess for me it always has been because it looks absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
It looks like a PS2 game.
It really does.
It looks like some of the CGI in this movie looks like it came out of the game Myst.
Sure.
Or possibly Riven, the sequel to Myst.
Great games, probably.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But the worst of all is you didn't think about just getting The Rock to be on top of a big animated scorpion?
Exactly what
just
I thought.
Just a big animatronic dude?
It must have been they didn't have the time because they actually completed this. Completed. 8 days before the film's release.
Oh, right.
Right?
Okay, sure.
And maybe he wasn't available to do that because it's atrocious.
He was being courted for ballers.
No
obviously.
Doubt, yeah. It was a long courting process.
That's right, yeah.
Corridor Crew have actually gone back and tried to fix this and they've made some improvements.
Who are they?
They've got a YouTube channel. Okay, they do special effects stuff and whatever.
Sounds really good.
They're good. Yeah. You should definitely check them out. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's atrocious.
Oh, it's
but
so
my
bad.
Favorite moment from this entire film is the moment where Rick O'Connell finally stabs the Scorpion King. There's a pause. Mm-hmm. Then you see Imhotep slide in and go, no!
Yeah, that's pretty great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's 100%. That moment where nothing is happening.
Yep.
And then there's that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, that's very enjoyable. That sequence also has Evie at one point saying, don't let Imhotep stab the Scorpion King because then he'll rule the world. So maybe you get the spear and stab the Scorpion King.
Yeah.
We know. We've been watching this movie for like an hour 50, Evie. We get it. We know what the plot is.
Yeah. You know what you're doing. We know what we're doing. Everything's fine. Yeah. Here's a segment of the show I like to call. It's a new segment.
Oh, yeah.
Rude Stuff. Rude Time Trivia.
Oh, Rude Trivia.
That's all right.
Hello.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ben, can you put in a... I can't do it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why you need Ben to put it in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's world class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Rachel Weisz's character Nefertiti was originally called Nefertiti.
That is
but the
true.
Producers felt that people would make boob jokes about the name, so they changed it to that of another Egyptian queen.
Oh, my God. Rude facts after dark.
You know it is. The other rude fact is there is a cameo by Stephen Summers in the form of...
The director.
The director, sorry, yes. He's back for this one in a big way. The handprints in the train's bathroom, you know, when the kid goes in, that's actually Stephen Summers. So that's him, I guess, who smeared shit all over the walls with his bare hands.
Wow.
So there you go.
See, I told you, visceral.
Visceral.
Real.
Real. That was real shit.
Incredible. His own?
His own, yes. So, look, I don't know, man. It was a big hit.
That's true.
A bigger budget, $98 million. It made 433. It was a big movie. I don't remember, unlike you, I didn't hate it at the time outside of The Scorpion King. I thought, this is fine. And I think it's still fine, but it's aged way worse than the other one.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Mm. What's the difference, I wonder? Is it
chemistry? Characters?
Maybe, maybe it's the mummy, even though, you know...
It's not funny?
It's not funny. Maybe it's that...
The kid?
No.
He's not bad.
He's
in
not
it.
Bad. Yeah. That's the thing. Maybe it's the thing that they tried to make Rick too cool. Maybe it's that. He's Indiana Jones.
They did change
more.
His name to Rick too cool.
Exactly. Maybe that's it.
That was a retcon.
Rick Radical.
Yeah. Rick, we looked into your records at the orphanage. Your name is Rick Radical.
Maybe it's because the, you know, even though the first one is set, you know, in all kinds of places in Egypt.
Yeah.
It is a smaller scale. They didn't try to overreach. Maybe that's what it is. It's just kind of every part of that movie is kind of solid. Whereas I feel like maybe this one has some kind of weak stuff that you can take out. Like, again, like the pygmy mummies and a dirigible that's going through some sort of PS2 CGI cutscene. You know what I mean?
Do you want to take out the bit where the guy puts his hand in the hole and then it chews off a lot of his hand and he takes his hand out and he's got a gooey hand?
No, I kind of want to keep that in.
They were like, listen, before we trot out the Scorpion King, people are going to hate that. Let's just do the realest thing that we can. An old bony, gooey hand. That'll get people on board for this. That's what people will take away from it.
Exactly.
I nearly forgot it.
Is that how Corridor Crew fix it? Like after the Scorpion King sequence is just a guy going like, ooh, look at my gooey hand. Ooh. I don't know about this movie, but I like the gooey hand at the end. That was real goo.
So we'll actually be back next week for The Mummy 3, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. I haven't seen that.
I've never seen it.
Since it came out. And I think...
Oh, you have seen it, though.
I maybe watched a pirated version of it, maybe, because
oh
I was
God.
Living overseas at the time.
Uh-huh.
It also came out...
Maybe you lived it. Where were you overseas?
Maybe I did.
China? Ancient China. Were you
in
ancient China?
I was in London somewhere at the time. Mm. I can't remember. But you know how I am, Mason. I travel.
Oh, my God.
I'm like Rick O'Connell. I'm constantly on adventures, murdering people and stealing.
Wow. We've just found your new birth certificate. Since your name's actually James, a big liar.
So anyway, I'm really interested to come back to that and see how it even compares to this.
Well, yeah, because I've never seen it, so I'm sort of excited to see.
You better push that excitement aside.
I hear there's a casting change. That's all I know. Rachel Weisz declined to come back.
That's right, yeah.
That's all I know.
Anyways, we'll be back next week for that. But if you do have a suggestion for Caravan of Garbage, please hit us up. And of course, on patreon.com/MrSundayMovies, we're constantly running polls to be like, what do you guys want? What do you want to see? That's why we're doing the Mummy Trilogy.
There's so many aggressive polls. You're like, My phone's blowing up.
I don't like this.
Stop it. I don't have this many opinions. Why do you keep making me do polls? You know? Well, we don't need you.
Get out of here.
We want only poll-friendly Patreoners.
You know that's the truth. Also, of course, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. We've got an upcoming episode on The Invisible Man, probably, don't we, Mason?
Yeah, I hope so.
And we're going to be doing that A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie commentary.
Oh my God, I cannot wait.
Which I will link below because I know, look, people want to see it and we'll get to it, don't you worry. But in the meantime, you can check that out. Where are you on? Did you say where you were on social media?
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. You should say hi.
I'll edit that bit out though.
Excuse me.
Anyways, guys, thanks for watching.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
Goodbye. That's the end.
Nice.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.